It is exciting to have all of you with us here today. I want to dive right into today's message and get a little bit serious with you right away. So if you have ever had someone make a promise to you and then they broke that promise, I want you to raise your hand. Anybody had a promise broken? Yeah. So almost all of us, right? And maybe you wouldn't even per se say that it was a promise. They just kind of said that they would do something and they didn't do it. So almost all of us have probably experienced a broken promise of some kind. Now, all right, you don't have to raise your hand on this one, but how many of you have ever been perhaps betrayed by a friend? Or someone who was maybe really close to you that you thought you could trust, and they either did something or they said something that really hurt. And it just like totally wrecked the friendship. And maybe now you're not even friends anymore because of it. Ever experienced that? And again, I want to go deep today. So how many of you, and this one may hurt, but how many of you have ever had wedding vows broken? You know, that the two of you stood together side by side at the altar, and before God and these witnesses, you vowed, you know, together, for better, for worse, till death do you part, and things got worse. And you tried to fix it, you went to counseling, you went to others for some help, but it kept getting worse, and didn't get any better. And when it didn't get any better, he left, or she left. And that's not the way it was supposed to happen. You're supposed to grow old together, you know, sitting on the front porch, watching your grandkids run around and play together out in the front yard, and you had all these dreams together as a couple, but now he broke your trust. She broke your trust. And that happily ever after now is just ever after. How many of you, and again, I want to be as sensitive as I can with this one, but how many of you have ever been abused? Whether verbally, physically, you know, sexually even maybe. And most often, it's always by someone that you trusted, you know, someone that you loved. And I've never been through any of that, so I can't speak as though I have, but I can't imagine the flood of emotions. And maybe it's something that you've never even told anybody about yet. You know, nobody knows that you're still just kind of keeping it inside, or maybe you did tell someone, and you got some help, you know, counseling was able to fix some of those wounds, but there's still this anger, this hatred, this bitterness, this unforgiveness eating you up inside, and you want to have peace, but you don't, and you want to be able to forgive, but you can't. Not that many years ago, I had a friend, or at least I thought he was a friend, kind of betrayed me. And John, and his name really isn't John, but John would say certain things to me, and then he'd kind of go behind my back and say things to other people, and he was just kind of stirring the pot and causing this strain in my relationship with other people, and I know I could have maybe done some things differently, and so I apologized for them. But when I confronted John about what he had been doing, he acted like he wasn't really doing anything wrong. And whether you would say it was wrong or not, it was hurting me. And you just don't do things to hurt your friends. And so I just point blank asked him. I thought we were friends. And I will never, ever forget. He just stood there, staring at me. No. And the worst part about it was, we're supposed to be Christians, right? So if I could just be real honest with you, I hated him. I hated him, and he made my life hell. Made my family's life hell. And I want wanted God to take him out. I hope that doesn't offend you, but that's just the way I felt. God, take him out. Right? Get him out of here. But then, something happened along the way. There's this verse in Scripture that was just like this nagging voice in my head. And the verse is Matthew 6, 14 through 15. It's in our mobile app notes if you follow along with our mobile app at all. The sermon notes in there. But this is what Jesus said to his disciples. He said, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Right? Which is great because we all want to be forgiven by God. We need it. But then it's verse 15 that's really disturbing. Jesus adds, "But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." If you do not forgive others who have sinned against you, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, when I read that verse, there's like the sense of panic in me because I do not want to forgive people who have hurt or betrayed me. And Jesus says we are to forgive or the Father will not forgive you. But how can you forgive someone who has done something that just seems absolutely unforgivable? So today we're starting a new message series. I want to pull out every once in a while when I have a week or two between longer series. And this is a series that quite honestly has the potential to do a lot in a lot of people's hearts. And I'm calling it, "What Would Jesus Do?" And I'm sure many of you are maybe familiar with the whole WWJD bracelets that were very popular, you know, several years ago. And the whole WWJD thing has kind of become a cliche. And yet, it is still a very powerful, powerful question to ask. Right? In whatever situation you may be facing, to stop and ask yourself, all right, what would Jesus do? It has the potential to not only save you a lot of headaches, but to change your life and the lives around you. Because as we looked at last week in the whole Jesus model of church, we are not only called to receive the love of Jesus and what's in it for me, but we're actually called to love one another and to live our lives as Jesus lived. So today we're going to be looking at the theme of forgiveness. Right? We're not only sinners who receive forgiveness, but we are sinners who are called by Jesus to love like him and to forgive the other sinners around us as well. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And today may be a tough day for some of you. But our loving Heavenly Father is able to mend broken hearts and heal old wounds. Okay, Romans 8:28 says, "God works out all things for good to those who love him and have been called according to his purpose." We're going to look at Luke 23, if you want to get a Bible out and maybe a pen or a paper. But this is going to be the text that we start with today, right? Luke 23. And we're going to see the most amazing display of forgiveness that you could ever imagine while Jesus is hanging on the cross. So to kind of wrap our minds around what's going on here, Jesus was, again, completely innocent, never ever sinned, hanging between two criminals on a cross. And Luke, who thoroughly investigated all of this just a few years after the crucifixion and resurrection, you know, he talked to all the eyewitnesses and tells us in Luke 23:32, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with Jesus to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on the right and one on his left. Now, as we read about this, a lot of times I think people really don't understand just what was going on the cross. For one thing, whenever we see a scene on TV or in a movie, typically we see Jesus and the other criminals hanging way, way, way up on the cross, like their feet are way up off the ground, way up there in the air. In reality, the cross was designed not only to torture, but to also bring extreme humiliation. Okay, crucifixion was actually expensive to do. It took a lot of time and manpower. Therefore, it was reserved for the worst of the worst, really to make a statement and to torture them. In fact, the word excruciating, right? Excruciating pain, that word actually comes from out of the cross. They would drive stakes in their hands and their feet. They would hang on a cross. And rather than being way, way up in the air, most historians believe that they were actually only about a foot off the ground. In order to breathe, they'd have to push themselves up, and they were just one step away from being on the ground, and yet they couldn't touch it. Now, people were able to get right up in their face and mock them. And they weren't looking up in the air, you know, making fun of them, ha, 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 you know. Instead, they were eyeball to eyeball with them, 1 foot off the ground, just spitting right in their face. Right, they were spitting on Jesus, mocking him. One of the criminals says, "You've saved others. Why don't you save yourself and save us? You know, hail, hail, King of the Jews." They're spitting on him. And at that moment, when creation, right, the people that God created through his Son, when people were at their worst, mocking the Creator in the flesh, Jesus prayed the most amazing prayer. He looks up to his Father as they're in his face, spitting in his face, mocking the one who is giving his life for their sins. And Jesus says in verse 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Daddy, God, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. If you were hanging on a cross, would you pray that about those who are torturing you? Jesus was asking for forgiveness for those who were sinning against him. In that moment, forgiving something that seemed totally and completely unforgivable. So, let's be honest, all right? If you live long enough, you're going to be hurt by somebody. In fact, many of you maybe right now are carrying a significant wound. Somebody abused you, took advantage of you, lied to you, cheated you. Someone hurt someone that you love. Someone took advantage of someone that you love. Someone maybe hurt your child or your sibling or a parent. And maybe someone who is even a Christian didn't act very Christ-like to you. Some church that you were part of did something that just devastated you, whether they even knew it or not. If someone gossiped about you and said something that wasn't true, maybe some boss didn't appreciate you and you ended up losing your job and you feel like it was just totally and completely unjustified and unfair. What's crazy is that there may be even some of you, you were hurt by someone who isn't even alive anymore. And yet you're still carrying that weight and that bitterness against someone who isn't even alive. Some of you, maybe it was a mom or a dad. They weren't there for you. They abused you. They abandoned you. Some of you, maybe it's something that's not even that big of a deal, but it's just that ongoing person, you know, that every time you're around them, it's just like fingernails on a chalkboard to you. And they just say things, and whatever you do is just not good enough, and they just make you crazy, and your mother-in-law, you know, did I just say that? I'm kidding, right? My mother-in-law is amazing. I love her, right? But there's just that. She gets so much grief from me. I love you, Sheila. But there's someone out there, you know, that just no matter what you do, it's just not good enough. Every time you're around them, it's just like, oh! Some of you, something maybe happened in your life and you're angry at God. God, why did you let this happen? Maybe you need to let go of that. Some of you, maybe it's yourself. You did something, and you can't believe you did it, and you can't undo what you did. And you're carrying unforgiveness even towards yourself, and you may even know that God has forgiven you, but you are just unable or unwilling to forgive yourself at this point. And that brings us to what I want us to address today as we learn to ask the question, what would Jesus do? How do we forgive like Jesus? Okay, this is the heart of the gospel. Jesus came to forgive sinners. And as we are forgiven, he calls us to forgive one another. And in fact, for those who are skeptical, they actually know that we are followers of Christ by what? By the way we love one another. Right? How we love each other. So I want to give you just two thoughts today, right? Two simple thoughts. And they're not necessarily easy to do, But with God's help, we can learn to forgive like Jesus. And we're commanded to forgive like Jesus. And the first thought, if you're taking notes, is this, right? Jesus actually teaches us to pray for those who hurt us. Okay, number one, pray for those who hurt you. Which, when you hear that, and especially when that wound is still fresh, it's like, are you kidding me? But that's what Jesus was doing on the cross. And that's what Jesus taught us to do. In Luke 6, 28, Jesus said, bless those who curse you, and then do what? Say it with me. And pray for those who hurt you. All right, bless those who curse you, and do what? Pray for those who hurt you. All right, and some of you are like, all right, I'll pray for them. Now, I'll pray for them, all right. I'll pray that they get shingles. I'll pray that they get the Rona. All right, I'll pray that they get what's coming to them. I'll pray they suffer. That's where I was at with John. I'll pray for John. And I did pray for John, that God would take him out, or at least take him out of my life. I mean, have you ever read the Psalms that David wrote about his enemies? He says, rise in your anger, O Lord. Let ruin come upon them. Let them be destroyed. May they die by the sword and become the food of jackals. Then I will rejoice, he says. It's like, sick them, God. That's right. I'll pray. I'll pray like David did. So what Jesus said while hanging from that cross was just shocking. Pray for those who hurt you. He also said this in Matthew 5. And when he said this, this was like jaw-dropping, shocking to his audience. That they had never heard anything like this, what he was about to say. In fact, when they heard him say this, they had been taught the exact opposite their entire lives. In fact, if you've been a Christian for a while, right, do not let the fact that you know this verse or rob you from the impact it could have like you're hearing it for the very first time. All right, Jesus said in Matthew 5:43, he said, you have heard that it was said, right? In other words, you've been taught this, right, your whole life. Everybody said this. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and do what to your enemy? Hate your enemy, right? You've been taught that in your entire life. Love those who love you and hate those who hate you, or be unkind to those who are unkind to you. But then Jesus adds this, but I tell you, and they couldn't believe what they're about to hear, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. When Jesus said this, you could have heard a pin drop. What? Did he just say what I think he said? No. All right, no way. Why? Because the Romans worshiped the god of revenge, right? That the Jews had been taught an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, right? Blood for blood, right? When someone wrongs you, you wrong them back. If they take something from you, you take something back, right? They break a bone of yours, you break a bone of them's or theirs, right? They flip you off in the car, then you flip them off, and then maybe ask for forgiveness later, right? That's why I don't have a Cedar Point sticker on my truck. I'm just kidding, right? I would never flip any of you off. I may cut you off, but who knows what would happen. I have a little bit of road rage, right? Just ask my wife. She'll tell you. But I would have never flipped you off. She's shaking her head, yes. Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who cut you off in traffic. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, if you've been around the church for a while, you're like, yeah, all right, love your enemies. Sure. It's kind of easy to just hear that until what? Until you actually have an enemy. Right? I'm talking about someone who betrays you, abuses your father, or lies about you or your wife or somebody you love. I love my enemies until I have an enemy. And then all of a sudden, I don't want to love my enemies. I want to hurt my enemies. But here's what I hope you're going to see. If you've been devastated by someone, right, let down by someone lied about you, somebody gossiped about you, the first place we start is we actually pray for them. We pray for them. We don't pray that something bad would happen to them. We actually start to pray for them. Well, why would Jesus teach us this? Well, it could be for a lot of reasons, but perhaps one of the reasons Jesus actually taught this was because it takes a right attitude Right? Everything starts in our minds. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Everything starts in our minds. A right attitude precedes a right action, right? A right attitude always precedes a right action. When I am overwhelmed with bitterness in my heart towards someone, there is no way I'm going to have a right action. If I'm praying for someone, though, what happens? My attitude slowly starts to change. It slowly starts to change. A right attitude will eventually lead to right actions. Because if you are waiting for a feeling to forgive someone who did something significant to you or wronged you or someone that you love, you may be waiting until Jesus returns to ever get that feeling. Right? We cannot be controlled by our feelings. If you're just waiting to be in the mood, you may never be in the mood. That's why as parents, when you and your siblings would get in a fight, they would take you and your brother or sister and put you back together and make you hug, even though maybe you were still steaming mad at each other. They'd make you hug and make up, right? Because you start by doing something that is right, even in your mind, right? It starts to renew your mind, and then eventually a right attitude will lead to right actions. And this is what I finally started to do with John. I didn't want to, but God's word should have that kind of power in our lives. Besides, I would think about the fact that we are both believers, right? We're both Christians, which means that we're both going to be in heaven together for eternity. If I can't get along with him here on earth, then what are we going to do in heaven? And I don't know how all that works, you know. Will we see each other every day, or is heaven going to be so large that I'm never going to see him? I don't know. But Romans 12:18 says, as much as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. Now, let me tell you, when you start praying for someone that you hate, when you start praying for your enemies, when you start praying for those who persecute you, listen to me, your prayer may or may not change them, but it will change you. Right? Let me say that again. When you pray for your enemies, it may or may not change them, but it will always change you. Okay, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's what Jesus would do. That's what Jesus taught us to do. So what would Jesus do to those who hurt him? Right, you don't just love those who love you and hate those who hate you. You actually pray for those who hurt you, and you love your enemies. What do we do? Well, number one, we pray for those who hurt us. Number two, then, is we are to forgive as we have been forgiven. Right? This is what is so important. We forgive in the same way that God has forgiven us. Forgive as you have been forgiven. In Colossians 3:13, Paul tells us to do what? Right? Let's say this all out loud. He said, forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. And how are we to forgive? We are to forgive as the Lord forgave you. And you forgive as the Lord forgave you. How do we forgive? You forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, I don't know about you, but God has forgiven me of a lot. I can't speak for any of you. I don't know what you've done. I don't know how many lies you told, people you have hurt, how often you've lied to yourself, you know, how often you have disobeyed and sinned against God. I can't speak for you, but I can tell you I have been forgiven of a lot. And I am to forgive others in the same manner that God has forgiven me. If he's forgiven me of a lot, then I am to forgive freely as well. Which leads us to a subject that may be impacting some of you right now. Because if in your marriage you have been betrayed, and perhaps you may even have grounds for divorce. Well, he cheated on me, or she cheated on me. Which is breathtaking and gut-wrenching and everything else, right? And I'm sorry. I want to acknowledge that. I'm sorry. Yes, you may have grounds for divorce. But guess what else you have grounds for? You also have grounds for forgiveness. To follow the example of your Lord and Savior, you also have grounds for forgiveness. Now, I don't know who this is for, but odds are there could be a marriage that is just barely hanging on right now. And with God's help, he can empower you to do something that you could not do on your own. You see, in our fleshly, sinful nature, we may not have what it takes to forgive. But when you have given your life to Christ, The Holy Spirit empowers you to live the life that we can't live on our own. And we learn to forgive like we have been forgiven. And if you do that, who knows what may happen? Right? God may have just saved someone's marriage when you choose to forgive as you have been forgiven. How do we forgive the unforgivable? We forgive as we have been forgiven. Right? At some point along the way, you make a choice. It's your choice. I want to forgive you, but I'm just not quite there yet. But God, I'm going to choose by faith to follow your word and work toward it. Or, you know, I don't know. I don't want to do that. I don't want to forgive. I'm just going to be bitter. So let's just walk down that road for a little bit and choose to be bitter all you want. I'm going to be bitter. And anytime I see him, anytime I see her, you know, it's just going to be, no, I want to do that. You know, Christmas time, I'm miserable the whole time. The whole time, right? And whenever they're around, it's just, you know, get away from me. I don't want to be around you. Anytime I think of them, my ears are just going to turn red. That vein's going to start popping out of my neck. I don't know if that happens to any of you. Every time I think about him, I'm just going to be mad. You know, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to be mad at him. I'm going to be mad at her, even though they may have no idea that you're mad. But I'm just going to be bitter. I'm going to be the best bitter person around. I'm going to be filled with hateful thoughts. Right? I'm just not going to forgive. Every time I think of someone who's even like them, it's like, I'm going to scratch their eyes out. I'm going to punch them in the face. And I'm just going to be, I'm going to be bitter. American author Anne Lamott said this. She said, bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. Right, think about that. Bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. Is that your game plan? Sounds like a great plan to me. I hope they die. Well, what do you do? Right, what do you do when you've been hurt? You start praying for them. And you just take it to God. Right? You just be honest with them. Have you ever been honest with God in your prayers? Right, David was gut-level honest with God in his prayers. I don't want to do this, God. It's not right what they did. You just tell God, you take it to him, you take it to God, and then one day you pull out that Frozen CD and you just let it go, right? Yeah, I'm sorry, I hate that movie. I had to listen to that thing so many times. Kelly's not in here, but you let it go. You just do that, you make a choice. God, by faith, I'm choosing. I may not feel it yet, but I'm going to start saying, I let it go. I'm going to let go of what they said. I'm going to let go of what they did. I'm going to let go of that hurt and that pain. I'm going to let go of the bitterness. I'm just going to let it go. Right? I'm just going to let it go. In the same way that God let go of my sins. In the same way that Jesus shed his blood on the cross so that I could be forgiven. I am choosing by faith to let it go. It's a choice. I'm choosing by faith. And when you choose to forgive, it releases the hurt, the power of the hurt or that the person has over you. You just let it go. If you've never seen the movie, I Can Only Imagine, right? It is a powerful, true story of Bart Miller, the lead singer from Mercy Me, and the abuse that he endured as a kid by the hands of his father. Bart shares how his father was just a monster, who would beat him multiple times a week. One time he beat him so badly that he couldn't even put his clothes on. So he stayed home from school for 2 days while he healed. He lived in constant fear, believing that his father was going to kill him. Now, when the movie came out, Bart also wrote a memoir by the same title. And in it, he talks about how the one he found hardest to forgive was actually his mother, who abandoned him and his brother and left them with their abusive father. That despite all the beatings, he hated his mother the most. Okay, even after his father had his life dramatically transformed by Christ and eventually died of cancer, Mark says he refused to forgive his mother and held on to that bitterness for years and years. But as a follower of Christ, if we fail to grasp the extent to which we are forgiven by God, then we will only forgive the people we deem worthy. And we put ourselves in the place of God. Now, on the flip side, if we withhold forgiveness from others, then we show just how little we think of what God has done for us. If you find yourself in either of those places, you should drop to your knees and pray. Finally, after years of counseling and wrestling with Jesus, Bart realized just how badly he needed to forgive his mother. And he says, "The crushing burden of unforgiveness will squeeze all the life out of your walk with Jesus." That the crushing burden of unforgiveness will squeeze all the life out of your walk with Jesus. Hey, we need to pray that God would give us the grace to forgive those who have hurt us in the past, whether they deserve it or not. Because God has forgiven you and me, and we did not deserve it. Now, I don't know who today is carrying something that you've been carrying for far too long, but it's time to let it go. Right? It could be something significant. It could be just that annoying person that gets on you all the time, or it could be a spouse or a parent or a friend who's hurt you. But if we're going to be followers of Jesus, he calls us to a higher standard. Right? He calls us to forgive. The world is going to teach you, love those who love you and hate those who hate you. But Jesus said, no, actually we do things a bit differently. Right? We pray for those who persecute us. We love our enemies and we forgive as we have been forgiven. Because that's how Jesus followers do it. And that's how good our Heavenly Father is, that he forgives us freely. In the same way, we have to forgive as we have been forgiven. Let me pray for you. And as we bow our heads and close our eyes today, I want to ask you just very directly, all right, those of you who maybe are carrying a hurt right now, a wound, all right, someone did something to you or someone that you love, but it's just been this ongoing, nagging issue in your heart. But today, all right, today you are choosing to start seeking God for his help to forgive. If that's you today, would you just be real honest? It could be the beginning of healing. Would you just lift your hands up right now and just say, I'm choosing today to ask God for help to forgive. If that's you today, just put your hand up. Yeah, just all over the place. Wow, so many people choosing to forgive today. Thank you for that. God, thank you for their honesty. And I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would just do a mighty work in their hearts in a way that only you can do. I pray that healing would begin to take place today. I pray that you would help us all to forgive others as you have forgiven us. And we not only pray for ourselves, Lord, but we pray for those who have hurt us. We pray that you would do a work in their lives, that you would bless them, that you would draw them closer to you. God, give us wisdom, give us the courage to know how to pray, that we would truly become people who extend love and forgiveness to those around us, that they might find the grace and mercy and peace that we have in walking with you. And it's in Jesus' amazing and powerful name that we pray. Amen.